StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
I like to think of it as America's first 9/11. On September 11th, 1990, George H.W. Bush declared war on sovereign America, baffling people by announcing he was ushering in, quote, and I quote, the New World Order. He gave the speech before a joint session of Congress. People debated for years what he meant. Everybody's pretty sure it wasn't good. In terms of pure economic decimation, the first September 11th, 1990, was much worse than actual 9/11. And that was pretty devastating. Sure enough, 2 years later, on December 17th, 1992, George H.W. Bush signed the North American Free Trade Agreement with the Prime Minister of Canada and the President of Mexico. They were overjoyed to sign it because they knew what it meant. The deliberate exfiltration on purpose, it wasn't an accident, of manufacturing out of the United States and to Canada and to Mexico. The goal of the Bush cabal then, as it still is now, was to erase utterly America's sovereignty and usher us into a new era of, well, he said it, not me, one world government. That cannot happen until nation sovereignty is destroyed. And Bush bet that if we could move American manufacturing into the other parts of the North American free trade area, that North America would begin to act as one sovereign nation. The silly excuse for this at the time was, well, we needed to compete with the European Union or something. And so we had to become a big borderless. Yeah, it was all a lie. And with that speech, the CIA's takeover of the Republican Party was complete. Oh, does that sound like a conspiracy theory? See, these globalist values are the values of the current day CIA, the values of U.S. aid. The values that we've just discovered in recent weeks led to the massive censorship regime being run out of the State Department by USAID. That's actually the biggest story of the week, I think. The story that broke about USAID, that it and the British government, our Pentagon and our State Department were running a massive censorship operation out of the UK. Yeah, we thought that we won the Revolutionary War in 1776. Turns out the British boot is still on our neck. But the important thing is, who was USAID, the CIA, the State Department, and the Brits, and the Pentagon, who were they actually censoring? Americans, yes. But the MAGA movement, yes. But populist, those still fighting this globalist movement. But what do I mean by the CIA and its values took over the Republican Party? Never forget that before he was president, George H.W. Bush was the director of the CIA. And after he took over the party, he took over its recruitment. Essentially, the CIA director, who had globalist one world agenda values that you can still see in what USAID is doing all over the world. I mean, they go in, overthrow regimes, they help CIA do it, and install totalitarian regimes, leftist regimes that are globalist regimes. This is the central battle of our time. So for over 25 years, the Bushes, via Karl Rove, did all the recruitment of the candidates, Republican candidates. There were only two values you had to have to get $400,000 to $500,000 spent for you in a Republican primary. If you did not have them, they'd spend the money against you. That's why there's so many douchebags left in the Senate, especially like John Thune, Lindsey Graham. They all came out of that error, or era, as some would say. You had to be willing to undermine American sovereignty any way you were asked. If I asked most Americans, hey, who was the first person to implement open borders? They'd probably say Barack Obama. Wrong. In fact, the Democrats didn't even come up with that idea. The Bushes did. It was actually George W. Bush when he was the governor of Texas who first opened the border. He did it a clever way. They had several state parks in Texas that abutted the border, and he simply signed an executive order banning the border patrol from those parks, ostensibly because it did damage when they ran their vehicles over, you know, to rare and endangered species. Well, what followed was 100,000 illegals a year through those parks, trampling those species and violating our sovereignty, with the border patrol only allowed to watch and helplessly do nothing. Ann Coulter begged us during that period not to elect the Bushes, laid out the horror show on the border in Texas. But we didn't really have conservative media then. I think Breitbart had a following of 10,000, and there was maybe the National Review, and they certainly weren't going to tell you. And we made the mistake. We elected George W. Bush. But by then, Clinton had already signed the stateside version of the NAFTA agreement. That NAFTA agreement, by the way, most Republicans would probably tell you that was Clinton. Yeah, no, he signed the stateside version. But who authored NAFTA? Who negotiated it? Ultimately negotiating the export of America's factories to Mexico and Canada primarily, and then later China. That was Daddy Bush, George H.W. Bush. Clinton beat him and continued in his footsteps. And the hemorrhaging of American manufacturing on purpose to decimate the American manufacturing base was well underway. Drive through small southern towns like the kind that dot South Carolina, and it looks like Beirut after the bombing, a shell of what they once were. Old manufacturing facilities unoccupied, sidewalks with cracks that there's no tax base to fix. The Bushes did that. So did the Clintons. And if Donald Trump, love him or hate him, has been consistent about one thing, it's his absolute unbridled rage over the whole thing. I feel it too. And finally this week, after working off, feeding off that rage for so many years, he began to be able to strike the blows against the New World Order. A texter to my show put it this way: taking down trade barriers is about exporting American manufacturing and constructing world government. Mass immigration, legal and illegal, is about creating one people for that world government. This is what Trump is fighting with tariffs. Just like most Republicans would probably tell you that Obama pioneered open borders, wrong. It was the Bushes. Most Republicans would also probably tell you the Democrats pioneered the war on American energy. Wrong again. That was the Bushes. Most Americans don't realize that for the vast majority of the Bush presidency, that Bush kept new permits, offshore drilling, all of it locked down. Why? Because the best way to quickly exfiltrate manufacturing, gut the American manufacturing base, and erase its sovereign borders is to conduct a war on energy. Bush did. In fact, he wouldn't let those leases go until the last 6 months of his presidency. Well, he announced it anyway. It really didn't get going because then Obama won and he put the kibosh on it all again, artificially driving up the price, the cost of American manufacturing. When Obama took office, 40% of our energy supply was cheap coal. It's so key to winning manufacturing jobs and businesses that between China and India, almost every day, one of the two opens a new coal-fired plant. When Obama took office, as I said, 40% of the energy mix was cheap, clean coal. And yes, we burn it cleaner than anybody else. Today, it's just 16%. Had Democrats remained in control, we'd have gone to zero by 2030 and had rolling blackouts because we don't have replacement energy sources they'll let us use. If you've ever wondered, okay, if they claim to be green, why don't they let us use nuclear power, right? I mean, it's extremely clean in these mini nuke plants. They are cheap and quick to build, but they won't let us. Why? It was never about being great. Not for the globalist Republicans and not for the Democrats. It's about offshoring manufacturing, globalism, and ultimately global government. During the Biden era, it continued with a tax that Biden put executively on natural gas that comes off of federal land, so we can do that executively. He holds the record, a 29% increase in just 4 years in the price of natural gas. He used that to quietly gut manufacturing. We ended the Biden era down 80,000 manufacturing jobs from where we started. At least that's what they've admitted to so far in their revisions. It'll probably be a bigger loss as they admit more and more and more. If you don't believe all these people are in league, you know what it'll show you they are? Go to Google Images and put in hug Bush Obama, hug Bush Biden. And what will you find? All kinds of pictures of the Bushes, the Obamas, the Clintons socializing, hugging each other. And in some of those pictures, you'll even see Trump and Melania also in the picture. Maybe it's at a funeral or something, looking awkward off to the side. Remember all those illegal immigrant flights into the country? You know who helped pay for those? Yeah, a nonprofit started by George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton. It actually raised money to illegally fly illegal immigrants into the interior. That's the open borders part of this. Trump's tariffs are a desperate last minute Hail Mary to defeat global governance, one world government. Now watch the chess pieces move around the board this week. Everybody knew Trump's auto tariffs, 25%, were coming down the pike this week. Everybody knows on April 2nd, the reciprocal tariffs, at least for now, they're scheduled to go into effect. This will be a blow, an absolute blow to all of their accomplishments, inching us toward dictatorial world order. One, centralized government, the end of sovereignty, where everything, especially the movement of goods, isn't fragmented. It's controlled centrally, internationally. Now watch the chess pieces move around the board this week. Again, everyone knew these tariffs were coming. Headline in The Hill, GOP senators warn Trump agenda will be slowed by internal divisions. Yeah, that's a little crock. What is this? Well, this is an interview by John Thune with The Hill saying that the Senate's just too busy to move Trump's energy legislation, too busy to move his tax agenda, too busy to move his border security agenda, just too busy. Folks, these guys have been back on the Hill since January, what, 4th? What the hell have they been doing? Why would John Thune volunteer? He is the, unfortunately, leader of the Senate. And folks, the problem is the Senate is a viper's den of leftover Bush holdovers who were recruited by Karl Rove, whose funding has always come out of the Bush cabal. Why would John Thune say that? That the, you know, earliest they could even think about getting to the agenda would be July, but that it's probably not going to be at least until this fall. What'll they be saying this fall if they're allowed to continue? Well, I mean, we're right on the verge of midterm. We can't get the Trump agenda done. Oh, no. Yeah. You know what they're doing? Exactly what Bush and Clinton and Obama were doing. They're gutting the industrial base on purpose. The thing with America is, left to its own devices, we're so darn prosperous, you actually have to work overtime to stop manufacturing from developing here. They are. The key way they're doing it is gutting energy. Why? Because let me tell you what's going on right now. Frantic phone calls are being made to the White House by Japanese automakers, European automakers, all of that saying, listen, man, look, you want me to expand my North American manufacturing? You want me to move my plant? Man, that'll take like 4 to 5 years. I can't do that because I can't even do the back of the envelope math. I don't know what my energy will cost. And you know what they're pointing to? They're saying, listen, you know, if Democrats win in 2028, right, I'll just be completing my plant and they'll be ordering me to make unprofitable electric cars. I'll go bankrupt. They're saying to Trump, didn't you yourself say just a few months ago on the campaign trail that what the Democrats were doing with these EV mandates was a bloodbath for auto manufacturers? And you want me to move there? And then you know what they're pointing to? That Biden executive order where he ordered, basically, there'll be no exploratory permits, period, basically for the entire coastline of the United States of America and large swaths of the interior. Essentially, folks going forward, it's going to freeze production because they have to get permits for exploration, then they've got to get drilling permits, and then they've got to get the full-scale drilling permits. It's a long process, right? That's all frozen right now. And Biden used a federal law to do it executively, which he can't. Unfortunately, that same federal law says you've got to pass legislation to undo it. Trump can't just sign an executive order. So all of these CEOs are calling up Trump this week. And here's what they're saying. Man, I can't move there. Why are you going to tariff me? I don't even know what my energy would cost. And that's my biggest expense. How am I going to do this? And what they're pointing to is John Thune, who did this on purpose. He is the majority leader. And again, an absolute douchebag in the Senate. This is why John Thune made that announcement. Because he's telling these CEOs, look, I'm from the president's own party and we're not even committed to providing you guys with energy. You'll never know what your energy costs are going to be. And here's the other thing. If Republicans would pass this bill, opening up clean coal, opening up the mining, simplifying the process, fast tracking it, right? It would be hard for Democrats to get the vote for the votes for the legislation to undo it. And so that's why John Thune is letting these CEOs know, look, we're not serious about energy here. You're never going to know your production cost. And, you know, this may never happen. Look, we're the president's own party. And so, you know, you really just want to stay in your own country and manufacture. We're committed to globalism here. Just send us our cars in the mail. Because right now, two objections are being raised in those phone calls about tariffs to Trump. Look, and a lot, here's the thing, folks, 50% of our cars are already made here, okay? So for a lot of these manufacturers, it's not even about starting manufacture here, it's about expanding it. They could probably do that in a 2 to 3 year window, right? But here's the other thing. What are the taxes gonna be? We have one of the highest corporate tax rates in the industrialized world right now. What was the other thing that Senate Majority Leader John Thune just did not have the time to get around to? Expanding Trump's tax cuts. And by the way, remember, you know, Trump was saying he wanted to take the tax down to 15%, which would be really cool. At that point, you won't even need tariffs. They'll be beating the door down to manufacture here. You unleash the energy and the taxes, Katie bar the door. Thune knows that. But here's the thing, again, you're looking at a Senate loaded with Bush holdovers. These are guys who can snap their fingers and have a $200,000 fundraiser held for them without doing a thing. They owe these Bush globalist donors who like the barriers. Many of them are big international corporations that set prices at the world market level, robbing the middle class blind. What gives this cartel the power to set those prices is that there aren't a lot of smaller manufacturing concerns operating in America, competing against each other, largely protected from their international price fixing. That is why John Thune chose this week to give that interview to The Hill, where he's essentially saying to these CEOs, nope, we're committed to globalism. We're holding up the Trump tax agenda. We're holding up the energy bill. And he also said he wasn't going to have time to get around to Trump's border security either. When he says that, it's as if the Bushes are speaking, including HW from beyond the grave. But wait a minute. Isn't a lot of this legislation supposed to originate in the House? I mean, it can't originate in the Senate. What is Mike Johnson doing right now? Yeah, he's on vacation. Well, we've known we needed this energy bill since before the election. I mean, where is it? Don't know where it is. Mystery, huh? Look, folks, the good news is that Trump has so broken the back of the Bushes that they cannot even win using their own name in Texas. P. Bush was recently curb stomped, as I said, by Ken Paxton. P. Bush raised 6 times the money. Paxton had just had an affair, and people in Texas voted for Paxton anyway, okay? They're not popular. The last break they have on freedom, the last hope they have to getting to one world government and absolute tyranny that they support, because they're fascist. I mean, they've been fascist back to Prescott Bush, who was literally a Nazi. The one hope they have to getting back to globalism is to apply the foot brake in the Senate and to influence the House. Hey, these bills aren't going anywhere in the Senate. Don't even bother. But The good news is I never bet against Trump. I've learned that lesson loud and clear. And folks, an amazing thing happened this week. I want to give you some hope on this, that we may be able to whoop Thune and Johnson into doing their job and answering to us instead of the Bushes. Right now, they're afraid of big money is what they're afraid of. And I think Thune's just an evil dude. I think Mike Johnson's just weak. But here's the thing. Do you notice what Musk and Trump, or maybe it's Musk or Trump, or maybe it's just Musk, I'm not sure, did to Mike Johnson? It was really awesome watching it. They unleashed Governor Ron DeSantis. Now, remember, Musk endorsed DeSantis over Trump. They're tight. In fact, DeSantis did his announcement on Twitter, on X. Remember, it was so popular, it actually crashed the platform and was something somewhat controversial. It was kind of a disaster, but whatever the case. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, less than a week ago, as Mike Johnson's running around lying to everybody, pretending to be, he's obviously the Speaker of the House, the Republican side, pretending to be a victim of these Marxist judges, and there's nothing he can do. Ron DeSantis has been giving interviews saying, oh, yes, there is. You can dissolve these courts. You can pass legislation saying they can't do, national injunctions, meaning no district court judge can enjoin Trump from doing anything. They can only rule on cases. Their power stops at their district. There's 94 districts. Or we can even bar them from hearing immigration cases. I mean, it doesn't matter. We can do all of those things. And by the way, DeSantis said, there are a lot of vehicles that Congress could use to pass this into law with 51 votes. And he listed several of them. Well, DeSantis went and did rapid fire interviews. Those were blasted across X. And wouldn't you know it, within 72 hours, aw shucks, Mike Johnson was all over the television saying he very much would like to hold hearings on this. And he now realizes that the House can pass legislation and stop this. By the way, the Senate can too, with 51 votes. Don't let them fool you. And so why did that happen? Well, the combined power of DeSantis and X. Watch DeSantis. Let's see if they use him as a knife again. Let's see if he targets John Thune this time. Let's see if he can get this shame them into getting this legislation rolling. By the way, Johnson's also vowing to try to pass now, we'll see how it goes, legislation to rein in these courts. One of the tricks you can expect Johnson to try to use is an aw shucks, to use a vehicle that requires 2/3 votes in the Senate, pretend there's nothing else. We're going to have to fight that, too. We want the 51 vote margin bill. And look, DeSantis is a former Congress member, and he's been careful to say in each of these interviews, look, we have plenty of vehicles we could use if we wanted to that are 51 votes. So let's watch what they do with DeSantis. Because, folks, Trump can't go to war, not openly with the Republicans. It'll scuttle his entire agenda. It's too risky. I wouldn't do it either. But they've got to find a way to pressure these Republicans into being Americans again. Because I got to tell you, in a lot of ways, they're as bad as the Democrats. Folks, the Democrats are so crazy right now, they're not even much of a threat to us. It's the Republicans holding up Trump's agenda. We have got to get the border security, energy, and tax agenda through. Or you know what's going to happen? Trump's going to put these tariffs on, like we're just looking at 25% on cars right now. And all it's going to do is jack the prices for the American consumer. You will have some auto manufacturers expanding in America. And it's largely going to be those that already have production facilities here and can more easily do it, have the capacity to quickly upscale or downscale in case Democrats win control in 28 or that energy bill never passes. And it's just too expensive to manufacture here. But everybody else, to get them on board and really spark a manufacturing renaissance here, we have got to get Thune out of the way and we've got to get Mike Johnson motivated. But don't count him out. DeSantis did an amazing job earlier this week.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.